So reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 9, chapter entitled Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places. So today we'll be reading from text number 9 to 11. Text number 9 and 10 have no purport. So I will read those text and the translation. And then when we arrive at text number 11, then you can follow. In South India, there were many types of people. Some were philosophical speculators, and some were fruitive workers. But in any case, they were innumerable non-devotees. By the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these people abandoned their own opinions and became Vaishnavas, the devotees of Krishna. So now we arrive at text number 11, which is on the board. Translation by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. At the time, all the South Indian Vaishnavas were worshippers of Lord Ramachandra. Some were Tattvavadis and some were followers of Ramanuja Acharya. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's quite a long purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur points out that the word Tattvavadi refers to the followers of Sri Madhvacharya. To distinguish his disciplic succession from the Mayavadi followers of Sankaracharya, Srila Madhvacharya named his party the Tattvavadis. Impersonal monists are always attacked by these Tattvavadis who attempt to defeat the philosophy of impersonalism. Generally, they establish the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya is known as the Brahma Vaishnava sect. That is the sect coming down from Lord Brahma. Consequently, the Tattvavadis or followers of Madhvacharya do not accept the incident of Lord Brahma's illusion, which is recorded in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Madhvacharya has purposefully avoided commenting on that portion of Srimad Bhagavatam in which Brahma Mohana, the illusion of Lord Brahma, is mentioned. Srila Madhavendra Puri was one of the acharyas in the Tattvavada disciplic succession, and he established the ultimate goal of transcendentalism to be the attainment of pure devotional service, love of Godhead. Those Vaishnavas belonging to the Gaudiya Sampradaya, the disciplic succession following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are distinct from the Tattvavadis, although they belong to the same Tattvavada Sampradaya. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are therefore known as the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. The word Pasandi refers to those who are opposed to pure devotional service. In particular, these are the Mayavadis, the impersonalists. A definition of Pasandi is given in the Ari Bhakti Vilas 173, where it is stated, Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivatai Samadvineva Vishetasa Pasandi Bhavat Dhruvam. A Pasandi is one who thinks that the Supreme Lord Narayan, the Personality of Godhead, is on the same level with the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. A devotee never considers Lord Narayan to be on the same platform with Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. The Madhvacharya Sampradaya and the Ramanuja Sampradaya are mainly worshippers of Lord Ramachandra, although the Sri Vaishnavas are supposed to be worshippers of Lord Narayan and Lakshmi, and the Tattvavadis are supposed to be worshippers of Lord Krishna. At present, in most of the monasteries belonging to the Madhva Sampradaya, Lord Ramachandra is worshipped. In the book known as Adhyatma Ramayan, there are statements in chapter 12 to 15 about worshipping the deities of Sri Ramachandra and Sita. There it is stated that during Lord Ramachandra's time, there was a Brahmana who took a vow to fast until he saw Lord Ramachandra. Sometimes, due to business, Lord Ramachandra was absent from his capital for a full week and could not be seen by the citizens during that time. Because of his vow, the Brahmana could not take even a drop of water during that week. Later, after 8 or 9 days, when the Brahmana could see Lord Ramachandra personally, he would break his fast. Upon observing the Brahmana's rigid vow, Lord Sri Ramachandra ordered his younger brother Lakshman to deliver a pair of Sitaram deities to the Brahmana. The Brahmana received the deities from Sri Lakshmanji and worshipped them faithfully as long as he lived. At the time of his death, he delivered the deities to Sri Hanumanji, who for many years hung them around his neck and served them with all devotion. After many years, when Hanumanji departed on the hill known as Ganda Madana, he delivered the deities to Bhimasen, one of the Pandavas, and Bhimasen brought them to his palace, where he kept them very carefully. The last king of the Pandavas, Shyamakanta, worshipped the deities in that palace. Later, the same deities were kept in the custody of the king of Orissa, known as Gajapatis. One of the acharyas known as Narahari Tirtha, who was in the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya, received these deities from the king of Orissa. It may be noted that these particular deities of Ram and Sita have been worshipped from the time of King Ikshvaku. Indeed, they were worshipped by the royal princes even before the appearance of Lord Ramachandra. Later, during Lord Ramachandra's presence, the deities were worshipped by Lakshman. It is said that just 3 months before his disappearance, Sri Madhvacharya received these deities and installed them in the Udupi temple. Since then, the deities have been worshipped by the Madhvacharya Sampradaya at that monastery. As far as the Sri Sampradayas are concerned, beginning with Ramanujacharya, they also worship deities of Sitaram. Sitaram deities are also being worshipped in Tirupati and other places. From the Sri Ramanuja Sampradaya, there is another branch known as Ramanandi or Ramat, and the followers of that branch also worship deities of Sitaram very rigidly. The Ramanuja Sampradaya Vaishnavas prefer the worship of Lord Ramachandra to that of Radha Krishna. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Tapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Satidevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacadishatarine. So the verse again. At the time, all the Sata Indian Vaishnavas were worshippers of Lord Ramachandra. Some were Tattvavadis and some were followers of Ramanuja Acharya. So in these verses 9, 10 and 11, we get an insight into the audience that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching to in South India. So texts 9 and 10 mention the first part of the Lord's audience, Keha Karmi and Keha Gyani. Keha Karmi means those who were followers of the Karma Kanda section of the Vedic literature. And Keha Gyani refers to the followers of the Jnana Kanda section of the Vedic literature. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission was to deliver pure devotional service to all living entities. And that was also his mission when he went to South India. We know from the definition of pure devotional service, Anya Bilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karmadi Anavrita, Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam, Bhakti Uttama. For there to be Uttama Bhakti, pure devotional service, it has to be free of any tinges of karma, meaning desire for fruitive activities, jnana, desire for any liberation, and adi, free from any desire for mystic perfection. The devotee should serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. That is the definition of pure devotional service. It should be free, shunyam, free from all of these things, should be made zero. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also taught from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Savai Pumsa Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Adokshaje Ahaituki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. Yayatma Suprasidati means that to completely satisfy the self, pure devotional service should be Ahaituki, free of any motivation, and Apratihata, uninterrupted. So this was the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And innumerable people in South India were in this category. They were in this category. So how did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu convert these innumerable people who were steeped in their knowledge and their attachment to Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda? It was wonderful how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu achieved this. And in this chapter, we read that simply by seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simply by seeing him, they would become completely freed of all of these unwanted things in their heart, these anartas. And immediately, they would chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go, people would see him and they would immediately feel transformed. And this is the potency of the Acharya. The Acharya is so powerful that simply by seeing him, one's heart can be transformed. There's one nice leela in Srila Prabhupada's pastime. When Srila Prabhupada was first entering, when Prabhupada entered America, he entered in Boston. So he was on the Jaluduta, and he was standing on the deck of the Jaluduta. And there was a young naval officer. He was sitting on the naval frigate. And it was the tradition of the Navy that whenever any ship would pass, they would lower the flag and then they would raise the flag again. And then they would salute the ship that was coming in. So there was this young naval officer sitting on the frigate, and he saw the Jaluduta coming. And in the standing in the front of the Jaluduta was Srila Prabhupada. And as Srila Prabhupada was coming in, he dropped the flag and then he raised it. And as Srila Prabhupada passed him, he did this, and Srila Prabhupada raised his hand. And for a fraction of a second, their eyes met. For a fraction of a second, their eyes met. And the same young naval officer, a few months later, he heard about the devotees. He met Srila Prabhupada. He became a devotee. And Srila Prabhupada gave him sannyas, Chayavan Swami. And he became one of the main preachers in Africa. So this is the potency of the Acharya. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was converting all of these non-believers simply by them seeing him. And in this way, innumerable, you know, the words I use, there is apara. Apara, apara. Apara means unlimited. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing these mass conversions simply by them seeing him. So that was the first class of, the first type of audience that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was encountering. Now in this verse 11 we were discussing today, it's very interesting. The second type of audience were not the non-believers. They were the believers. They were the devotees. And three categories are described in this verse. The devotees of Sri Ramachandra, the Tattvavadis, who are the devotees of Madhvacharya, coming in the line of Madhvacharya, and the Sri Vaishnavas, who are the devotees coming in the line of Sri Ramanujacharya. Now it begs the question, they are already Vaishnavas. So what would Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do with them? What would he offer them? And this forms the most interesting aspect of this particular chapter. We see both in the Tattvavadis, the followers of Madhvacharya, and in the Sri Vaishnavas, their understanding of the Absolute. They didn't have the complete and the ultimate understanding. Like the Sri Vaishnavas, they believed that the ultimate object of worship was Lakshmi Narayan. And the highest abode is Sri Vaikuntha Dham. And the Tattvavadis, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, they worship Lord Ramachandra. And they had a different conception of what the ultimate goal of life is. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to elevate even these Vaishnavas. And we'll discuss, it's covered in more detail later in the chapter, but I'll just touch on what in particular Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought to the Tattvavadis and what he thought in particular to the Sri Vaishnavas. And then I will read from an aspect, a very interesting aspect, from the 14th chapter of the Madhya Leela, about how the Vaishnavas demonstrated that Sri Vrindavan Dham is the highest of all planets. So let's see if we can do that. So firstly, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada touches on a very interesting point. Srila Prabhupada talks about the 14th and the 15th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The 14th and the 15th chapter deals with the Brahma Vimohana Leela. Mohana means illusion. So this deals with the illusion of Lord Brahma. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Sri Madhvacharya doesn't offer any commentary on the 14th and 15th chapters. So why is that? Why did Madhvacharya not offer any commentary? And I do want to make the point, he did not reject the 14th and 15th chapters. He just did not comment on them. Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Purana, the spotless Purana. Everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam is perfect. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam is perfect. So why did not Madhvacharya, who is one of our main acharyas, not comment on it? Yet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the acharyas coming in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, and so on, they commented on the 14th and 15th chapter. So the main reason why Madhvacharya did not comment on this 14th and 15th chapter, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, is we are coming in the Brahma Sampradaya. There are four bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas: the Brahma Sampradaya, who Lord Brahma is the head of; the Sri Sampradaya, who Lakshmi is the head of; the Rudra Sampradaya, who Lord Shiva is the head of; and then the Kumara Sampradaya, who the Kumaras are the head of. So these are the four bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas. So we are coming in the line of the Brahma Sampradaya. So therefore we are known as the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So Madhvacharya considered Lord Brahma, he's the head of our Sampradaya. He's the Acharya, the Adiguru. How can we discuss our Guru being an illusion? Disciples never do that. So for that particular purpose, he omitted to comment on these chapters. Now it begs the question that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming in the same Sampradaya. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not neglect, or none of his followers, to comment on this 14th to 15th chapters. So how do we understand that? So acharyas give different explanations. And essentially, they say that there were four reasons why the Brahma Vimohana Leela was performed. Four primary reasons. And they say that these four primary reasons was: one, the elderly gopis of Vrindavan, they very much wanted Krishna as their son, and to be able to feed him and nurse him. But they will not be able to do that. there were many younger gopis that wanted Krishna to be their husbands. But that was not possible. There were many of the cows that desired Krishna to be like their calf. That couldn't happen. And lastly, Lord Brahma, it is mentioned, when he observed the killing of Agasura, which was the pastime just before this, he saw Krishna's wonderful activities and he thought to himself, this is so sweet. I want to see more of these pastimes. So it's explained that Yogamaya, who facilitates all of the Lord's pastimes, understanding, and obviously, the last one is Krishna also wanted to experience and reciprocate with the devotees like this. She made this arrangement immediately to cover Brahma's intelligence, to bewilder him, so that this whole Brahma v. Mohana Leela can be played out. So there's two types of illusion. There's the illusion that comes from Mahamaya, the material illusory energy. And then there's the illusion that comes from Yogamaya. And that's the illusion that covers the devotees and makes us see things differently. So Lord Brahma's illusion was not the ordinary type of illusion like the conditioned jivas go through. His illusion was arrangement by Yogamaya to supplement and fulfill the pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not see that there was any difficulty in the recitation and the discussion of Brahma Vimohana Leela. And therefore, the Vaishnava, the Gaudiya Acharyas, they don't omit to comment on that. So that was quite interesting. And this was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has come to give a deeper understanding. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. So the second aspect that the South Indians were mostly followers of Sri Ramachandra. Ordinarily, most of us think that the South Indians, they follow Lakshmi Narayan. Srila Prabhupada notes here that they were the followers of Sri Ramachandra. And Prabhupada says, even in the Madhva Sampradaya, even if you go to Udupi, these ancient deities dating back to the time of Maharaj Ikshvaku, to the time of Lord Ramachandra, they are also worshipped there. And we see this is actually true. Lord Ramachandra is worshipped very widely in the south of India. And we know in the south of India, they follow the 12 Alvars. The 12 Alvars. They are like the great saints. And the Alvars, one of the 12 Alvars was King Kulashekar. Srila Prabhupada was very fond of the songs of King Kulashekar. And he would often sing the songs from Mukunda Madhava Stotra. So King Kulashekar was one of the famous Alvars, meaning, and the songs of the Alvars, they were considered to be the fifth Veda or the Tamil Veda. And they are called Divya Prabhanda. And they are all constituted of the songs, some 400 songs of the Alvars. And King Kulashekar, he was such a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. It is explained that he would be completely absorbed the whole day in hearing Ramayana. And he would be so absorbed that he would actually become part of the pastimes. Like there's a few incidences. There was one incident where in the Ramayana, he said that how can our hero, Lord Ramachandra, fight alone? And the moment King Kulashekhar heard this statement, how could our hero, Lord Ramachandra, fight alone? Immediately he jumped up and he said, prepare my army. We are going to fight. We are going to support Lord Ramachandra. And he got his entire army together. He jumped on his horse and he was racing to go and fight. And the kings were thinking, and his ministers were saying, what are we going to do now? So they thought of a plan very quickly. They said, some of y'all go ahead and you'll travel in the opposite direction. And when you meet King Kulashekhar, you'll tell him, oh, the battle's over. Lord Ramachandra's won. So they did that. He was just racing with his army to go and support Lord Ram. And then he saw this opposite army coming and they said, oh, Maharaj, don't worry. The battle's over. Lord Ramachandra has been victorious. And he said, oh, okay. Then they managed to drag him back. And then there was a second incident where the minister who was, oh, sorry, the pandit who was reciting the Ramayana, he was very careful. Anything that he felt would spark King Kulashekhar, he would avoid. So one day, he had to go and do some business, and he wasn't around. So he's let his son do the recitation. And his son was just reciting all the bits that the father would normally avoid. And there was one part of the Ramayana where there was talk about Ravan kidnapping Sita. And when King Kulashekhar heard this, he said, this can't happen. He jumped in his horse and he rode straight into the ocean. And he jumped to the ocean and he started to swim. He started to swim and everybody was thinking, he's going to drown. But he was just in his mood. He was going to go and support Lord Ram and he was going to rescue Sita. And then everybody was perplexed. How are they going to rescue Kulashekhar? And then at that time, Lord Ram intervened. In his deity form, he went to this place where Kulashekhar was. And he said, no, don't worry. Here is Sita. He brought Sita along. We are fine. Ravan has been defeated. And he managed to bring him back. And the ministers, they were so worried. This is our king, and if he is completely absorbed in Ram Leela, how will this kingdom function? And they thought that the cause of this king's moods are the Vaishnavs. They are always reciting Ram Katha. So if we can get rid of the Vaishnavs, then we can stop the Ram Katha, and then we can stop this whole thing happening. So they came up with a scheme that the jewelry of Ram deity was missing. So they hid the jewelry and they went to King Kulashekhar and they said, your Vaishnavs, you proclaim them to be so great, they actually stole the jewelry of the deities. So we should banish them all from the kingdom. And King Kulashekhar said, no, the Vaishnavas are never like that. And I'll prove it to you that they didn't do it. He said, bring me a basket with a poisonous cobra in it. And I'll put my hand in this basket. And if the Vaishnavas are as you say, this cobra will bite me and I will die. And if they're not, nothing will happen to me. And his ministers were mortified. Oh no! Surely he's going to die. The cobra will bite him. But King Kulashekar, without any fear, he put his hand in this basket with the poisonous cobra in it. And nothing happened. And he pulled it out and he said, "See, you are simply conniving against the Vaishnavas." And all of his ministers were so embarrassed and they bowed their heads. So this is one of the great saints, the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. And this is one of the reasons there are so many devotees. Even you see Ramanuja Acharya, Ram Anuja. Anuja means younger brother, it means Lakshman. And then you see Ramaswami. So many of the names in South India, you go, they've got the names Ram somewhere in it, Lord Ram. And we see in this particular chapter how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gives the devotees of Lord Ram a proper understanding. There's one incident in this chapter where there was a Brahmin. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his house and he noticed that this Brahmin was very, very depressed. And he was not cooking. He would get all the ingredients, but he wouldn't cook. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you know, to the Brahmin, "Why are you so depressed? Why are you not cooking?" He said, "You know, I can't get over this fact that Sita Devi, she's the most chaste of all women. Yet she's been touched and kidnapped by Lord Rama, by Ravan, and she's become tainted. And every time I think about how Sita Devi, who is the most chaste, has become tainted, it just bothers me and I just can't function." Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "Please, you don't worry. Because Ravana never kidnapped Sita. The original Sita was taken by Agnidev and kept with him. And the Sita that Ravan kidnapped was a Maya Sita, not the original Sita." And the Brahmin said, "Really?" Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "Yes. So you don't have to worry, because Sita Devi is pure and she remains pure. All Ravan got was the Maya Sita." And this Brahmin felt so happy. He was reunited in his mood to worship Lord Ramachandra. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there's so many pastimes in this chapter of how he was even enlivening the followers of Lord Ramachandra. Now, the Tattvavadis, the followers of Madhvacharya, what was the fault in them? So in this chapter again, I think it's in verses 240 onwards. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once he goes to the main temple in Udupi. And there he sees this beautiful deity of Gopal, called the Dancing Gopal. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he performs kirtan. First they saw him and they thought he was a Mayavadi sannyasi. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't have sika, you know. He was like, originally they would think he's a Mayavadi sannyasi. So they thought he was a Mayavadi sannyasi. And they were avoiding him. But then when they saw he was dancing and performing Harinam, they were very happy. So they approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then meets the Acharya, the main Acharya of the Tattvavadis. And then he asks him a question. He says, "Can you tell me, please, what is the ultimate goal of life? What is the perfection of life?" So the Acharya, the biggest person in the Tattvavadi Sampradaya, he replies. And what does he say? He says the ultimate goal of life is to perfectly execute one's duties according to Vanashram and offer the results to Krishna, and thus one should return back to Vaikuntha. And Mahaprabhu said, what? That's not the ultimate goal of life. That's not the ultimate goal of life. And Mahaprabhu said, it all starts off with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. And the ultimate goal of life is Krishna Bhakti. The ultimate goal of life is not Vanashram, because one can perfectly follow Vanashram. Actually, there's one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that says, even if one follows perfectly Vanashram, if one fails to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one goes to hell. So Mahaprabhu said, that's not the goal of life. And then Mahaprabhu said, liberation? Is this what you're after, liberation? The four types of liberation? That is not what is the goal of life. And in this way, Mahaprabhu spoke the real Siddhanta. And when he spoke that, the head of the Tattvavadi Sampradaya, he was so embarrassed. He just bowed his head in shame. And he said, I can see that you are Krishna himself. Please instruct us. So we see, although there's this, the other Sampradayas, they still do not have the complete understanding. And I'm just giving just droplets, because we'll discuss all of this a bit more in this chapter. Now we come to the Sri Vaishnavas. So the Sri Vaishnavas, they worship Lakshmi Narayan. So the head of the Sri Vaishnavas was Venkata Bhatta. So Venkata Bhatta invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home for his meal. And then he told Mahaprabhu, now is the start of the Chaturmasya season. The Chaturmasya season is the 4 months of the rainy season. And generally, the sadhus, they don't travel. They stay in one place. So he told Mahaprabhu, why don't you stay with me for 4 months? And Mahaprabhu said, okay, I'll stay with you for 4 months. So Mahaprabhu was seeing that Venkata Bhatta, he was in the mood that Lakshmi Narayan worship is the highest, and Vaikuntha is the highest destination. So one day Mahaprabhu asked Venkata Bhatta a question. He said, Lakshmi Devi, she is the consort of Lord Narayan, and she is known as the most chaste of all women. But one time, she desired to leave the lotus feet of Lord Narayan and join the rasa dance of Lord Krishna. How do you explain this? So Venkata Bhatta was stunned, you know. And he knew what Mahaprabhu was asking was correct. So he said, well, Krishna and Narayan are the same. There is no fault with Lakshmi Devi if she wants to go and join Krishna. There is no fault. Vishnu and Krishna, they're same. Krishna comes from Vishnu. He comes from Narayan. Then Mahaprabhu said, no. Mahaprabhu said, the Supreme Absolute has 64 qualities, but your Narayan, he has only 60 qualities. He does not have 4 qualities that Krishna has. So he's not complete. Therefore, Lakshmi gets attracted to Krishna. And those 4 qualities are Rupa Madhuri, his beautiful sweet form, Venu Madhuri, when he plays his flute, he attracts the whole world, Lila Madhuri, his pastimes are so sweet, and Bhakta Vatsala, his pastimes with his devotees are unparalleled. So Mahaprabhu said, no, Narayan is not. He's not the absolute. I mean, he's the absolute, but he's not complete because he does not have all of the qualities that Krishna has. And then he spoke, and why? Why is it that Lakshmi, although she wanted to enter the rasa dance, she could not. She could not. And then Mahaprabhu explained, she could not attend, she could not enter the rasa dance because she could not give up her opulence. So Lakshmi Devi was asked to become a cowherd girl and to milk cows and to make cow patties. And she said, no, I don't do that. I can't make cow patties. You know, I am Lakshmi Devi, you know, the queen of Vaikuntha. And she couldn't give up on the opulence. And because she couldn't give up on opulence, then she could not enter Vaikuntha. Now, I want to touch on this one point about the opulence of Vaikuntha being greater than the opulence of Vrindavan. So on the 14th, in the 14th chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, there's a very nice incident. Want to read about. So Srivas Thakur, he's in the mood of Narad Muni. So in the Jagannath festival, Lord Jagannath temple is Vaikuntha, and the Gundicha temple is representing Vrindavan. So Lord Jagannath, after the Ratha Yatra festival, he goes and he stays in the Gundicha temple, and he stays there for 9 days. And after the fifth day, there is a festival called Era Panchami. Era means to come and see, and Panchami means five. So on the fifth day, Lakshmi Devi gets very angry with Lord Jagannath. He's saying, you know, he's gone for so many days. He's left the opulence of this place, and he's gone to live in a remote place, village. So she goes with the attendants, and they beat up Lord Jagannath's followers, and they say, he should come back. He should come back. So Srivas Thakur is in the mood of Narad Muni. So he jokingly, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers are on the side of Lord Jagannath at Gundicha because they are in the mood of Vrindavan. So Lakshmi Devi, she wonders, and this is I'm reading from Madhya Leela, chapter 14, performance of Vrindavan pastimes. She wonders, why did Lord Jagannath give up so much opulence and go to Vrindavan? To make him a laughing stock, the goddess of fortune make arrangements for much decoration. Then the maidservants of the goddess of fortune said to the servants of Lord Jagannath, why did your Lord Jagannath abandon the great opulence of the goddess of fortune and for the sake of a few leaves, fruits and flowers, go see the flower garden of Srimati Radharani? So they're amazed. They're saying, you know what? Opulence, yeah. In Vrindavan, few leaves, some flowers, some twigs, and some fruit. He left it for that. How silly can he be? So they're accusing Lord Jagannath. Your master is so expert at everything, but why does he do such things? Now bring your master before the goddess of fortune. And they bring Lord Jagannath and his master there. And then Srivas Thakur, he then addresses Lord Chaitanya's followers, and the head of them is Swarup Damodar. And he says, your gopis are engaged in boiling milk and churning it into yogurt. But my mistress, the goddess of fortune, sits on a throne made of jewels and gems. Srivas Thakur was enjoying the mood of Narada Muni, thus made jokes. Hearing them all of the personal service of Sri Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu began to smile. And then they start to describe the opulence of Vrindavan. And I'll just read a few because it shows, or it completely extinguishes this concept that Vrindavan is less opulent than Vaikuntha. Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulences, and his complete opulences are exhibited only in Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan Dham is made of touchstone. Its entire surface is the source of all valuable jewels, and the Chintamani stone is used to decorate the lotus feet of the maidservants of Vrindavan. So the first thing they say, oh, you think your Vaikuntha is so opulent? Do you know Vrindavan is made of Chintamani? And do you know that anything that Chintamani touches becomes gold? Do you know that Chintamani is the most precious of all stones? And do you know in Vrindavan, the gopis use Chintamani on their feet? He's trying to say that, you know, don't talk about your opulence, because Vrindavan's opulence is much more. And you talk about twigs and trees and so on. Vrindavan is a natural forest of desire trees and creepers, and the inhabitants do not want anything but the fruits and flowers of these desire trees. In Vrindavan, there are cows that fulfill all desires, kamadhenus, and their numbers are unlimited. They graze from forest to forest and deliver only milk. The people want nothing else. This is Vrindavan. We have trees there that whatever you desire, it fulfills. We have kamadhenu cows that can give everything what you want. So don't talk about the opulence of Vaikuntha. And then he says, and in Vrindavan, the natural speech of the people sounds like music, and the emotions resemble a dance. The water in Vrindavan is nectar, and the Brahmajyoti effulgence, which is full of transcendental bliss, is directly perceived in its form. And he said in Vrindavan, the gopis are also goddesses of fortune, but they surpass the goddesses of fortune who abide in Vaikuntha. In Vrindavan, Lord Krishna is always playing his transcendental flute, which is his dear companion. The damsels of Vrindavan, the gopis, are super goddesses of fortune. You think they're goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha? In Vrindavan, they are super goddesses of fortune. The enjoyer in Vrindavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. The trees are all wish-fulfilling trees, and the land is made of transcendental touchstone. The water is all nectar. The talking is singing. The walking is dancing. And the constant companion of Krishna is his flute. The effulgence of transcendental bliss is experienced everywhere. Therefore, Vrindavan Dham is the only relishable abode. And this is a text from Brahma Samhita. So here we see Lord Chaitanya and his followers. You know, they are showing that the Lord in his form of in Krishna is the sweetest form. The Lord in his form in Vrindavan, he experiences the sweetest exchanges. So all you Vaishnavas become followers of Lord Krishna and understand what pure devotional service means. And I'll just conclude with one last story. In the last few lines of the purport, Prabhupada talks about the Ramanandis. Of all the Vaishnava sects, the Ramanandi sect, or the Ramananda sect, is probably the biggest. He said, I think there's something like 56 gates of Vaishnavism, and they occupy 32 of them. And they are followers of Lord Ramachandra. So they are a very, very big sect. There's one very nice pastime with Srila Prabhupada about the Ramananda sect. And I'll tell it because I really find it so nice. So when Srila Prabhupada was in Allahabad during the Kumbh Mela, so one day it was Ekadasi, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting on his asana and he leaned back and he said, Ekadasi, lotus seeds,
cooked in ghee. Lotus seeds cooked in ghee. He was probably saying, like, on Ekadasi, we should eat lotus seeds cooked in ghee. And then in walks a brahmana, a very paka brahmana, with his 9-year-old son. Then he puts a piece of cloth in front of Srila Prabhupada. He opens it. Srila Prabhupada puts his hand in it and he puts it in his mouth. It was a cloth full of lotus seeds cooked in ghee. And Prabhupada said, "Jesse!" We said, "Lotus seeds cooked in ghee," and it came. So Srila Prabhupada is talking to this man, and then Prabhupada had his legs stretched out. So this man, he pulls out one tray, and he pulls out one lota, and he puts Prabhupada's feet in there, and he starts to bathe Prabhupada's feet. And Prabhupada said, asked him, "So you've bathed in the Sangam?" He says, "Swamiji, I've bathed. But that's not the real Sangam. The real Sangam is this." And he bathes Prabhupada's feet. And his 9-year-old son is there. And then he takes the water, he drinks it, and he sprinkles it on everyone. So there's this beautiful exchange taking between Prabhupada and this brahmana. This is actually narrated by Atma Tattva Prabhu in the Memory series. Some of you may have heard it already. It's beautiful. And then Prabhupada looks at the man and he looks at his 9-year-old son. And he says, "Give me your son. I'll make him an acharya." And the man said, "Yes, Swamiji, whatever is mine is yours. You know, my son is yours. But still, you know, he's got to learn Sanskrit grammar and he's got to train, you know, he has to become competent to be acharya. You'll have him, Swamiji, but first I need to train him." Prabhu says, "What's vyakaran? What's grammar? That's not needed. Give him to me. I'll make him acharya." He said, "No, Swamiji, you can have him. You can have him, definitely, but just a few more years." And Prabhupada is pushing this man to give him his 9-year-old son. And he's saying, no, not right now, Swamiji. Just a little later. And eventually Prabhupada relented and said, "Okay, you know, later." And then he blesses this 9-year-old boy on his head. So Atma Tattva Prabhu is narrating the story. He says, many years later, he takes the Gurukul boys and he goes to the Kumbh Mela again in Allahabad. And there he hears that the acharyas of the Ramananda sect is there. And it was that sect for a while, they became split up. And he heard that this new acharya, he had united the entire sect. So he tells the Gurukul boys, let's go see this big acharya. He's a very young sannyasi, but let's go and see him. So they go there, and the Gurukul boys, some of them white bodies, South Americans, they start chanting prayers to the sannyas. They're just reciting. And there's this acharya sitting there, and he's listening. And then as soon as they finish, he starts reciting on the spot. He composes some prayers. Nacha bhuto na bhavishyati. You know, that was the motto for Srila Prabhupada's centennial. Never there was there a time, and never will there be a time where there was a greater acharya than Srila Prabhupada. So the head of the Ramananda Sampradaya, he's glorifying Srila Prabhupada and he's chanting all the Sanskrit prayers. And then Atma Tattva Prabhu looks closely and he said, "Hey, that's the same 9-year-old boy. That's the same 9-year-old boy that Srila Prabhupada said, I will make an acharya." And here he's chanting all of these prayers and in front of this big assembly, he's glorifying Srila Prabhupada. And he said, "Yes." He said, "My acharya, Ramananda Goswami, he predicted that one day Vishnu worship will spread throughout the world. And Srila Prabhupada has done it. Therefore, Ramananda won't be offended if I say, na cha bhuto, na bhavishyati. Never was there a time nor will there ever be a time like an Acharya, like Srila Prabhupada. And this Acharya said, you know, then Mahatma Tattva said, what happened to you? He said, my father sent me to Varanasi. For 4 years, I lived with the Mayavadis and I studied the Saradika Bhasya, the commentary of Sankaracharya. I learnt it. It was a big austerity. And then I came back and for 9 years, I saw the split in the Sampradaya and now I've united everyone. And all of this credit goes to your Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. So it's interesting, Srila Prabhupada mentions this Ramananda sect, a very big Vaishnav sect, and the role that Srila Prabhupada plays in the sect at the moment. So I'll stop here. I've got 5 minutes left. We'll take any questions or any comments that anyone may have. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. There's a mic, maybe you can wait for the mic so others can hear. Yeah, yeah, Prabhu, yeah, in the front.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I just had this question that how could these devotees of Lord Ramachandra develop this ecstasy, attain to this stage? Like, I heard that Brahmana was on the platform of Bhava or Prema, who was absorbed in this ecstasy. Yeah, well, I mean, how could I eat when Sita Devi was kidnapped? So, how can they develop such ecstasy? What can these devotees attain actually without this con? And because we also hear Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam. So, and can they also go back to Godhead?
Yes. So there's different categories of prema. There's Vaikuntha prema. And what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, there's stages above prema, like sneha, man, rag, anurag, and so on. So the devotees of Lord Ramachandra, certainly they can attain prema by worship of Lord Ramachandra. And when they attain that prema, they go to the spiritual planet where Lord Ramachandra resides. The followers of Lakshmi Narayan, they can also attain prema. But there's different types of rasas. There's dasya ras. There's Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras. So the different types of rasas, they are not prevalent in the other planets. So Dasya Ras is a very, very high stage. It's prema. So all of the other sampradayas, they can. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and thought that what one can attain through Krishna Bhakti, through following the residence of Vrindavan, is that one can attain the higher, the rasas, like Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras. So to answer your question, they attain prema, but the rasas they attain are different. Does that answer your question, Prabhu?
Yes, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Can you pass the mic to her, please?
Hare Krishna. I wonder, so if Ram Bhaktas have it, or maybe these sects are different from being a Rambak, because if they think Vaikuntha is the highest, then they kind of have a misunderstanding, don't they? And they kind of don't know that Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes.
Yeah.
And they believe that perhaps Lord Krishna came from Narayan.
Yeah.
And is like, so that's kind of, in our perspective, quite a big disparity, isn't it? So isn't that kind of offensive? Or if they do that without the understanding that actually Krishna is the cause of all causes, then if they do it without this understanding, then do they go to hell, like you were saying? And then if, like, all this, then why are we worshiping? We have Lord Ram right here, you know. For us, what is the meaning of worshiping Lord Ram? And I'm sure some devotees prefer to worship Lord Ram, or they have a cordial connection with him. So could you explain a little bit further with this?
In Krishna consciousness, we have the principle of perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. So they are perfect in the understanding, because Lord Narayan and his various expansions, they are forms of Krishna. Whether they are offensive when they consider Krishna to be an expansion of Narayan, I wouldn't say so. Because a lot of the Shastras would sometimes allude to that almost. But Srimad Bhagavatam is very clear. Krishna's two Bhagavans, Swayam. He is the Swayam Bhagavan. That's the Paribhasa Sutra. So to answer your question, I wouldn't consider them to be offensive. I would just say it's a lack of understanding of the position of Lord Krishna. Like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking with Venkata Bhatta, and they were having this discussion. The only time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought that Venkata Bhatta was being offensive when he sort of alluded that he knew more than Sridhar Swami. And Sridhar Swami is the great Acharya. But Mahaprabhu didn't take any offense to him putting his different points forward about Lakshmi Narayan and all. No. That's how they understand. Yeah.
Thank you. Just to continue a little bit, if you don't mind. Does Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru is Ishwara Puri and then Madhvendra Puri? So do they also have the Ram understanding? And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed it?
No.
Sorry, I just...
Madhvendra Puri was the first to bring us Madhurya Ras. So it comes from Madhvendra Puri to Ishwara Puri to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No, they were Madhurya Ras. Yeah. Kartik Chandra Prabhu, would you like to add to that question? Okay. Sadbhujya.
Just by looking at that picture, we get an idea. Yes, it's not offensive because Lord Ram is non-different from Lord Krishna.
Yeah.
And Lord Chaitanya. So it's just a matter of own reverence. Some devotees, they like to worship the Lord on own reverence, and you get that type of prema. And there are other devotees, they like to go a little bit more deeper, like you said, more perfect, most perfect. More deeper, it's the when there is no own reverence. And that's when you enter into the realm of, Mahabhav, the highest. But there is no offense in that.
Yes, we no can, offense.
Any worship of different aspect of the Lord, it's bona fide.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Kartik Chandra, maybe.
Yes.
Let's say something.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So... Amongst the four sampradayas, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya is the one that considers Krishna to be a Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Madhvacharya considers Vishnu as the Supreme. And Krishna and everyone else is the origin. Is originating from Vishnu. Mm-hmm. In Ramanuja, we have Narayan as the origin. And then in Nimbarka, they consider Krishna to be the Supreme. Same with Vishnu Swami, Rudra Sampradaya, Krishna is the Supreme. So Vallabhacharya, he accepts Krishna. However, there's a difference between what is offensive and what is not. So Mahaprabhu mentions Mayavadi Krishna Pradi. So the offense is when the temporary is considered to be supreme or the supreme is considered to be temporary. So to expand on that, when somebody considers Krishna to be just temporary, he is a human being. That is offense. Mayavadis consider Krishna to be just like one of us. And hence it is an offense. Or to consider someone who is ordinary, temporary, a human being, to be like God. And there are some sampradayas where they consider Guru to be God. Not as good as God, but to be God. And that is offensive. So the definition of offense is very clear. And hence, because these four sampradayas don't come into that category, they are not offending. And also, when Madhvas, they say that Vishnu is the origin of all the forms, they also say that simultaneously all the forms are non-different to Vishnu. So therein, the offense is not there. So if they, like for example in Udupi, the center, the main deity is Krishna.
Mm.
Same if we go to, the greatest deity of the Sri Sampradaya is world famous Balaji, Venkateshwara, who is Lord Krishna. He's not Ramachandra. So because they consider Krishna to be, although ontologically originating from Narayan, they consider Narayan to be non-different from Krishna. They will never say Krishna is subordinate to Narayan. And hence there is no offense.
Thank you.
I just wanted to...
Thank you. Okay, I think we've gone over time. Don't see any other questions, so we'll stop here. Oh, probably. Okay. Hare Krishna.
No, Lord Ramchandra was born in Ayodhya.
Uh-huh.
In India. Bharat was India.
Yeah.
But still, some people don't accept that what is asking the proof. They're asking the proof that what is the proof that Lord Ramchandra was born in Ayodhya.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you go there, so Saryu River is still flowing there, uh-huh. Water is there, Ayodhya is still there. So how do we convince them that yes, Lord Ramchandra was born in Ayodhya? How do you convince them?
How do we convince them? Guru, Sadhu, Shastra is the only way of convincing anybody. That all the saintly persons are in agreement, Sadhus are in agreement that he's the place. If the Shastras indicate that's the place, and the Guru is saying that's the place, that's what we accept. And if they don't want to accept, we ignore them. But as long as we are convinced that Guru, Sadhu, Shastra accept Ayodhya to be the birthplace of Ram, we accept. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay, one last question, a quick one, yeah? I wouldn't say they've not been exposed to it. Like the Brahma Samhita, the fifth chapter, it was uncovered. They've just not been exposed to it. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Go Premanande Rinvo.